Hey there, everyone, and welcome to Leap of Faith Podcast. I'm Lorraine, I'm your host, and today we are in episode 115.3, and that will be 1 Kings chapter 7. So welcome to everybody out there. So glad you're able to join me today with another chapter in the Bible and God's Word. And I am not going to delay. I know I say that every day, but today is a rather long chapter with a lot of description in it. And I used the word, maybe I was wrong to use this word. I was just being honest and, you know, just saying what I always say, just being me. I used the word tedious. I certainly don't mean that God's word is tedious, and that's not the case. It's just so descriptive and detailed. And, you know, I am not that person a lot of times, so it's tends to be a little challenging for me to read this. So if you feel the same way, you're not the only one out there who feels like sometimes it's a little difficult to get through. But you know what? God is so good. And there's going to be something in there. There's going to be hopefully some nugget that, you know, will pop out at us. I don't know what that might be, but anyway, so I'm not going to delay. I'm going to go ahead and pray, give you your Bible verse of the day, and then we'll go ahead and dive into this chapter. So let's pray. Holy and mighty God, we come to your throne with hearts of thanksgiving and just gratefulness. We ask forgiveness of all of our sins, and we ask that you just forgive us for what we've done through the blood of Jesus, Lord. We know that that is our only way to have forgiveness, is through his sacrifice. And we're so grateful for his sacrifice, and we're so thankful that he was obedient to you. I just pray over each and every one of us who is reading through this Old Testament. Give us hearts to love and to be guided by you, and to understand what it is exactly what you're trying to tell us through these words. I certainly didn't mean to call it tedious, but it is a little challenging, especially with some of the names. But Lord, just put a covering over us. Help us to understand you. Reveal yourself to us so that we can get to know you better and better. Lord, I ask you to bless every person out there watching or listening to this. I pray for whatever their needs are in this moment. I don't know what it might be. It might be a health issue. It might be a financial issue, a relationship issue, emotional, physical. I don't know what it might be, but whatever that might be, Lord, I just ask you to wash them in the blood of Jesus and have whatever their needs are just covered sooner than later. We know that it's in your time that you get things done. Everything falls into place in order, and we know that. So Lord, I just pray over each one of us to have patience and wisdom as we're learning through Solomon to be wise and understanding. I hear stories every day that's, you know, of people praying for, you know, 30 years, and then all of a sudden you answer that prayer. So I pray for those prayers to be answered, of course, sooner than later, because we are impatient. Lord, I invite you into this time in your word. I ask you to anoint it, bless it, and be here, be present. Lord, take us where you want us to go. Let us meet the people you want us to meet. Let us say the words you want us to say, and keep us out of your way. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today's verse, again, comes from Psalm. I am on a little roll here with reading from Psalms. It says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God." Let's be still. Let's be quiet. Let's know that God is in our presence all the time. And we exalt him. We are grateful. And we put him above everything and before everything. And if we do that, I think that God honors that. So be still and know that I am God. I love that. Absolutely love that. And that's from Psalm 46:10. I think a couple of days ago, I forgot to put where the reference was. I'll try to get in there and fix that. I don't know how to do that, but I'll figure it out. Anyway, all right. Well, let's go ahead and dive in. I have not pre-read this. I have not highlighted anything. It is absolutely blank, so it's going to be interesting. Chapter 7, Solomon builds his palace. And this is, again, episode 115.3. Solomon also built a palace for himself, and it took him 13 years to complete the construction. One of Solomon's buildings was called the Palace of the Forest of Lebanon. It was 150 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. There were four rows of cedar pillars, and great cedar beams rested on the pillars. The hall had a cedar roof. Above the beams on the pillars were 45 side rooms, arranged in three tiers of 15 each. On each end of the long hall were three rows of windows facing each other. All the doorways and doorposts had rectangular frames and were arranged in sets of three facing each other. Solomon also built the Hall of Pillars, which was 75 feet long and 45 feet wide. There was a porch in front, along with a canopy supported by pillars. Solomon also built the throne room, known as the Hall of Justice, where he sat to hear legal matters. It was paneled with cedar from floor to ceiling. Solomon's living quarters surrounded a courtyard behind his hall, and they were constructed the same way. He also built similar living quarters for Pharaoh's daughter, whom he had married. From foundation to eaves, all these buildings were built from huge blocks of high-quality stone, cut with saws and trimmed to exact measure on all sides. Some of the huge foundation stones were 15 feet long, and some were 12 feet long. The blocks of high-quality stone used in the walls were also cut to measure and cedar beams were also used. The walls of the great courtyard were built so that there was one layer of cedar beams between every three layers of finished stone, just like the walls of the inner courtyard of the Lord's temple with its entry room. Furnishings for the temple. King Solomon then asked for a man named Huram to come from Tyre. He was half Israelite, since his mother was a widow from the tribe of Naphtali, and his father had been a craftsman in bronze from Tyre. Huram was extremely skillful and talented in any work in bronze, and he came to do all the metal work for King Solomon. Huram cast two bronze pillars, each 27 feet tall and 18 feet in circumference. For the tops of the pillars that he cast bronze capitals, each 7.5 feet tall. Each capital was decorated with seven sets of lattice work and interwoven chains. He also encircled the lattice work with two rows of pomegranates to decorate the capital over the pillars. The capitals on the columns inside the entry room were shaped like lilies, and they were 6 feet tall. The capitals on the two pillars had 200 pomegranates in two rows around them, beside the rounded surface next to the lattice work. Huram set the pillars at the entrance of the temple, one toward the south and one toward the north. He named the one on the south Jachin and the one on the north Boaz. The capitals on the pillars were shaped like water lilies, and so the work on the pillars was finished. Then Huram cast a great round basin 15 feet across from rim to rim called the sea. It was 7.5 feet deep and about 45 feet in circumference. It was encircled just below its rim by two rows of decorative gourds. There were about 6 gourds per foot all the way around, and they were cast as part of the basin. The sea was placed on a base of 12 bronze oxen, all facing outward. three-faced north, three-faced west, three-faced south, and three-faced east, and the sea rested on them. The walls of the sea were about 3 inches thick, and its rim flared out like a cup and resembled a water lily blossom. It could hold about 11,000 gallons of water. That's a lot of water. Huram also made 10 bronze water carts, each 6 feet long, 6 feet wide, and 4.5 feet tall. They were constructed with side panels braced with crossbars. Both the panels and the crossbars were decorated with carved lions, oxen, and cherubim. Above and below the lions and oxen were wreath decorations. Each of these carts had 4 bronze wheels and bronze axles. There were supporting posts for the bronze basins at the corners of the carts. These supports were decorated on each side with carvings of wreaths. The top of each cart had a round frame for the basin. It projected 1.5 feet above the cart's top like a round pedestal, and its opening was 2.25 feet across. It was decorated on the outside with carvings of wreaths. The panels of the carts were square, not round. Under the panels were 4 wheels that were connected to axles that had been cast as one unit with the cart. The wheels were 2.25 feet in diameter and were similar to chariot wheels. The axles, spokes, rims, and hubs were all cast from molten bronze. There were handles at each of the 4 corners of the carts, and these, too, were cast as one unit with the cart. Around the top of each cart was a rim 9 inches wide. The corner supports and side panels were cast as one unit with the cart. Carvings of cherubim, lions, and palm trees decorated the panels and corner supports wherever there was room, and there were wreaths all around. All 10 water carts were the same size and were made alike, for each was cast from the same mold. Huram also made 10 smaller bronze basins, one for each cart. Each basin was 6 feet across and could hold 220 gallons of water. He set 5 water carts on the south side of the temple and 5 on the north side. The great bronze basin called the Sea was placed near the southeast corner of the temple. He also made the necessary wash basins, shovels, and bowls. So at last Huram completed everything King Solomon had assigned him to make for the temple of the Lord. The 2 pillars, the 2 bowls, bowl-shaped capitals on the top of the pillars, the 2 networks of interwoven chains that decorated the capitals, the 400 pomegranates that hung from the chains on the capitals, 2 rows of pomegranates for each of the chain, networks that decorated the capitals on the top of the pillars, the 10 water carts holding the 10 basins, the sea, and the 12 oxen under it, the ash buckets, the shovels, and the bowls. Huram made all these things of burnished bronze for the temple of the Lord, just as King Solomon had directed. The king had them cast in clay moldings in the Jordan Valley between Succoth and Zarethan. Solomon did not weigh all these things because they were so many. The weight of the bronze could not be measured. Solomon also made all the furnishings for the temple of the Lord: the gold altar, the gold table for the bread of the presence, the lampstands of solid gold, 5 on the south and 5 on the north, in front of the most holy place, the flower decorations, lamps, and tongs, all of gold, the small bowls, lamps, snuffers, bowls, ladles, and incense burners, all of solid gold, the doors for the entrance to the most holy place and the main room of the temple with their fronts overlaid with gold. So King Solomon finished all his work on the temple of the Lord. Then he brought all the gifts his father David had dedicated, the silver, the gold, and the various articles, and he stored them in the treasuries of the Lord's temple. Well, alrighty then. I honestly did not highlight a whole lot. Because like I said, this was just a lot of description of what Solomon did. So I started with the first verse, Solomon also built a palace for himself, and it took him 13 years to complete the construction. So he's 13 years into being a king. Is that right? Well, it took, oh no, actually he's 20 years in, because it took, if you look back, it took 7 years to build the temple, and it took him 13 years to build his palace. So that's 20 years he's in as king. All right. Then I went up to 7, where Solomon also built the throne room known as the Hall of Justice, where he sat to hear legal matters. And then it goes into a lot of details about, you know, they talk about Huram, and he's a skilled, you know, he's skilled in working with bronze and all of the things that he made. I highlighted that it was, for some reason, oh, called it the sea. I don't know why. Then Huram cast a great round basin called the sea, probably because it held 11,000 gallons of water. That's huge. I mean, that's a lot of water. That's like a little pool. Okay, so what they did with it, I don't know. Maybe we'll learn in the next couple of chapters what they do with that. And then I, again, I highlighted that the basins that he made were each basin was 6 feet across and held 220 gallons of water. That was in verse 38. And then I popped down to 45. I highlighted the word burnished because I don't know what that means, but I want to look it up afterwards. So to me, what I'm getting from this, you know, besides the fact that he's describing what the palace looks like, I can only imagine what it might be, you know, what it might look like. But I feel like God's saying to me that he is a God of order and a God of details. And if he puts that much attention to what Solomon is building, because Solomon's doing this in accordance to, I'm assuming, to what God's telling him to do. How much more is he going to be focused on us? If he's so detail-oriented on these buildings that they're making, how much more does he love us? And how much does he want to be right in the thick of, you know, the details of our life? So that's the message I got today. So that's your takeaway. And with that said, you know, because this is the end of the chapter, you know, if he's that detail-oriented about that and our lives, how much does he want you to become one of his? So if you haven't made him number one in your life, if you haven't made Jesus Lord of your life and accepted him into your heart as your Lord and Savior, then this is your moment. I always give everybody out there who's listening the opportunity to receive Christ. So I lead you in the prayer, but it's all about your heart and where you're at in your relationship with God. So I'm going to lead you in the prayer, and I hope you say it today, because, you know, I always say this, what are you waiting for? You know, Jesus is waiting for you, and he loves you, and he wants you in the fold. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, today I put my trust in you. I am not perfect and know that I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. I thank you for the sacrifice of your Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. It's his perfect and spotless blood that covers all of my sins, past, present, and future. On this day, I accept him as my Lord and Savior into my heart and will live my life for him. Thank you for my salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. If you said that prayer for the first time, congratulations and welcome into the adopted family of Jesus Christ. You've been chosen by God to be adopted into his family. He handpicked you. I think he handpicks everybody. And it's just a matter of who's listening and who's paying attention. If you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior today, congratulations. It is a celebration. I always tell everybody, mark it in your Bible that today is your day. And celebrate it every year. We also would love to hear from you. If you would like to share that information with us, you can reach either me at Lorraine@leapoffaithpodcast.org or Jeremiah@leapoffaithpodcast.org. You can message us on Facebook or on Instagram or however, whatever platform we are checking. But, you know, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. If you have prayers, we'd be happy to pray for you. We also highly recommend that you get to a church, to a pastor, anybody who can help you out to navigate the next steps. They'll answer questions. And, you know, we always say not a spectator sport. So get involved with your church, volunteer, maybe for a ministry, Bible study. You might be interested in mission work, whatever that might look like. I don't know. I don't know what the talents are that God gave you, but He gives everybody gifts, and He wants you to use them to spread the word to others. So I think that's it for today. I think I covered it. So as always, I'm so happy to be here. I'm blessed, and I hope that you are too. I don't know what time of day it is, morning, noon, or night. I don't know what day it is or what year or month or whatever. I have no idea when you found us. But I'm just glad that we're out there in the, you know, internet universe, whatever that might look like. And I'm glad that you were here today. So I hope you have a great day. God bless you, and I will see you tomorrow.